One of the most glaring deficiencies in our church is the lack of personal evangelism. We have good, solid Bible teaching. We have children's ministries, men's ministries, women's ministries. We have regular fellowship in our church. We have lots of good things in our church, but there is a lack of personal evangelism. In the 6 years since this church was founded, we have not seen many people come to Christ through personal evangelism. And this urgently needs to be rectified. And so the purpose of this very brief study tonight is to encourage us to think about, to pray for, and to practice our personal evangelism as part of our Christian lives. Now, it goes without saying that the Bible commands us to preach the gospel and to make disciples as we go. And we all are no doubt very familiar with the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 19. Clearly, the Great Commission is applicable to us today as well as to those who originally heard it. The task was set to the original 11. But that task was too great for them to accomplish in their short lives, to teach all nations. Okay, they could not possibly accomplish this. And so those of us who followed the apostles also have been given the Great Commission. This great act of worldwide missionary work is to continue until the Lord returns, as we see in the book of Acts. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The early church was engaged in personal evangelism, as we see in Philippians chapter 1, verse 14, which says, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." So Paul, while he was in prison, knew that other believers were taking up this great commission. While he was in prison, he knew that other believers were bold to speak the word, to preach the gospel without fear. And that it was an encouragement to Paul in prison. And clearly that worked well as the early church grew. And grew in those times in a way that has not been replicated since. Now, I don't want to spend too much time on proving that we need to share the gospel as part of our Christian life. There are heaps of verses that talk about this. And I'm sure no one here disagrees with this. However, I find that many Christians find it hard to do this. Hard to put it into practice. It's hard to share the gospel with someone. I include myself in this, and from my own experience, it's a tough thing to do. You know, it's easy to come to church, it's easy to read the Bible, it's easy to pray, but it's hard to share the gospel with someone else. It's probably the toughest thing to do as a Christian. Well, that's my experience anyway. And so I think it's helpful for us to get some practical instruction on how to go about sharing the good news with those around us. And so that's really what this short study is about. Now, the first thing is prayer. The first thing is prayer. And this probably goes without saying. It's probably a very obvious thing that we need to pray before we go about sharing the gospel with people. Okay, but, you know, we forget the very basic things. I certainly forget to pray specifically about this. And I know that here at prayer meeting, we do pray for people to get saved. And that's great. I'm not saying that that's not a good thing. But we need to focus specifically on those who we are witnessing to, okay, or intend to witness to. Say, for instance, that you are burdened to share the gospel with someone, with your next door neighbour, with someone that lives next door or in your street. The first thing to do is to begin praying specifically for that person by name. Name that person in your prayer and pray that God will give you opportunities. Pray that the Holy Spirit will convict that person. Pray for boldness. Pray for wisdom to say the right things. And keep praying until you have shared the gospel with that person. Again, it's a basic truth. But God will not hear our prayers if we are not in fellowship with Him. Okay, that's a biblical fact. Psalm 66 verse 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Okay, so often our prayers are not heard because we're holding on to sin. Okay, we're not confessing that sin to the Lord. So make sure that you're in fellowship with the Lord. Confess your sins and then pray for that person. Second thing, as we heard on Sunday night, Pastor Peter explained this very well, our example is also very important as we prepare to share the gospel with others. The way that we live our lives, the character that we show to others daily is important. In Philippians 1 verse 27 it says, "Only let your conversation be," that's your manner of living, your lifestyle, your example, "let it be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 12 says, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Now, if there was ever a verse that describes what it's like to be a Christian in a secular workplace, that's the verse. Okay, and those of you and most of you would be familiar with this. If people know that you're a Christian at work, they will single you out. Okay, and they'll speak against you. They'll try to get you to do something bad, to get angry, to say something silly, whatever it is. They'll bait you. They'll try to get you to do something wrong. And that's why it's so important for us as Christians to have that good testimony amongst unbelievers. So these two things, prayer and our example, are simply preparation for the work of sharing the gospel. They are complementary to the gospel, but they do not replace the gospel. That's important for us to understand. It is true that without prayer and without being a good example, it's very hard to share the gospel with someone, if not impossible. Yet people will not understand the good news unless someone actually tells them. Romans chapter 10 verse 13 and 14 is very clear about this. Romans chapter 10 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Verse 14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" That's us. People need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ through us. Okay, that's one of our jobs as Christians. And so we come to some ways to actually verbalize the good news of salvation to the lost. And this is where it gets hard. Okay, this is where things get pretty tough. Okay, like I said, it's easy to pray. It's even pretty easy to be a good example and not say anything at work. But to open your mouth and to say something to that unbeliever that you work with or that you live right next door to, that's hard. And so I just want to give you some things that might make this a bit easier to do, because sometimes we don't know where to start. Like, what do we do? Okay, we've prayed, we've lived a good testimony in front of these people. Now what? Okay, so this is where we're at now. Now there are, I'll boil it down to two very simple approaches to sharing the gospel. Okay, there's probably more if you want to get complicated. But basically there's two approaches that you'll use 99.9% of the time in sharing the gospel. The first approach is the gentle approach. And the second is the direct approach. Okay, so the gentle approach and the direct approach. And each method can be used effectively depending on the situation, and it may take some experience to decide which is better, and some wisdom, no doubt, from the Lord. Please turn in your Bibles to John, the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 4. John chapter 4. Here we see the Lord Jesus, who was, of course, the master personal evangelist, using the gentle approach. And I'm sure you're very familiar with this story. We'll take it up from verse 7. John chapter 4. And verse 7 it says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." We'll stop there. This is the gentle approach. Notice that the Lord Jesus just comes down, sits down, and doesn't kind of approach her directly about her eternal salvation. He asks for water. Something that has nothing to do with her soul. So he's using a very gentle way, you know, not to scare her off, not to put her off. The situation being, of course, as was explained here, that she was a Samaritan and she was a woman. Why would he even be talking to her? So that's the gentle approach. But notice that the Lord Jesus, even though he uses the gentle approach, he asks for water, and then, you know, the conversation continues a little bit, but he's never drawn aside into some other secondary conversation. He keeps getting back to the main point, which is the condition of her soul. And he does it in a very, very clever way, you know, linking the water with the living water that he's offering her. Incredible, situation that we see here. And of course, we all wish that we had this kind of dealings with people when we share the gospel. But that's kind of the gentle approach. I think it's a good example, something that shows us that, yeah, we don't have to go directly to the gospel, but if the situation allows it, if we have time, if perhaps we don't want to scare someone off, we can start talking about something else. But stay on track to the gospel. Don't get drawn aside by secondary matters that lead away from the gospel. That's easier for that to happen. But always continue on to the main point. So that's the gentle approach. There's also the direct approach. And this can be used if time is limited or if you are comfortable getting straight to the point. So perhaps if you're talking to someone that you're familiar with, that you spend a lot of time with, that you know at work, or one of your neighbours, or a friend that you're having coffee with, you already know them. Okay, so they're not likely to be scared off if you broach the subject of their eternal destiny. Okay, and to be quite honest, the direct approach is very often the best way. When using the gentle approach, it's, as I said, it's easy to get sidetracked by the conversation or to be interrupted by something else. And of course, if you've tried to do this, you know, you're trying to share the gospel with someone and then suddenly there's an interruption and you don't get to kind of finish what you started. And so sometimes the direct approach, getting straight to the point, is the best way. I find it's more often than not, it is the best way, is the direct approach. And by being direct, I mean that you, as the evangelist, just dive in and ask a question that confronts the listener and makes them consider their eternal destiny. So it could be that you're having lunch with a work colleague, or sitting down in a coffee shop with an acquaintance or friend. And so after the small talk, you know, how was your day, or so forth, you ask them directly but gently and seriously, if you died today, would you be 100% sure that you would go to heaven? Okay, that's what I mean by the direct approach. You just get straight to the point. And what you'll find is that most people will be surprised or shocked even to be asked a question like that, kind of out of the blue almost. And there may be a moment of uncomfortable silence as they ponder the question. They may ask for clarification or for you to repeat the question. In any case, this question or some variation on it is very direct and to the point, and will more often than not lead to further opportunity to explain the plan of salvation. I found that once the topic is opened up, the conversation just follows very easily. But the hard part is simply being brave enough to ask that first question. Okay, so after you do that, after you ask that hard question, and it's, boy, it's hard to do, you'll find that it just happens to flow along, okay? It becomes a lot easier after that. You may get some people who want to change the subject immediately, or get offended even, or get upset, in which case you probably have to respect their wishes and talk about something else. But at least you've done your job. At least you have confronted them with a question like that about their eternal destiny. Okay, so you're not beating around the bush, you're not kind of being vague and unclear about what you want to talk about, but you've confronted them with a very direct question. It's very likely that this question, a very direct one, a very bold question like this, and it's just an example, but I think it's a good example, it's very likely that this question will resonate in their minds for some time, and will be used by the Holy Spirit to convict them of their sin and need for a Saviour. So even if you get to ask that question and then you just get interrupted or something happens, it's very likely that they'll keep thinking about that. You know, even if you part ways and they go home or they remember at night, you know, the what happened during the day, that question will pop up because it's such a confronting question. And that it may be that in the future they're led to Christ by someone else. Because that question's been going over and over in their minds for some time, for years even, and that you are an important link in that chain. Just because you asked a simple question. And I believe by asking that kind of direct question, that person has no excuse that no one tried to share the gospel with them. Okay, so when they die, when they do face the Lord as their judge, they can't say, no one tried to share the gospel with me, because you would have asked them that question. So the great advantage of the direct method is that there is no chance of failure. Okay, you can't fail if you just get straight to the point and begin by asking them that direct question. So where to from here? Okay, you've asked the direct question, and the person has either answered to this question, are you 100% sure that if you died today you would go to heaven? They've either answered yes or no. Okay, so they've engaged you with that question. What do you do now? Well, this is where this tract that I've handed out comes in handy. Okay, it's good for us to have the plan of salvation worked out in our minds. Okay, perhaps you even want to carry that or something like that around, so that when you are witnessing to someone, and you don't want to appear unsure about yourself, but you can just whip it out and just start sharing the plan of salvation. Now, I've gone through that tract. I just got it off the internet. I thought it was a pretty good basic way of explaining salvation. You know, you start with the fact that they're a sinner, and you just keep going from there. And so that's where you go. Once you engage them, and once they're ready to talk about this matter, then you just keep hitting them with these things. Most of us know the plan of salvation in our minds, you know, probably off by heart. You know, we know what the gospel is in a nutshell. But sometimes we have trouble explaining it to someone. Okay, so there's probably a few things that we have to remember, a few little tips. And so I just want to go through just a couple of them that may help us in this. That outline of that gospel tract is a good one to have to memorize, perhaps if you're good at memorizing, or just to keep it on you so that if you do get stuck, you can kind of pull it out and it'll help you. You don't have to quote all the verses word for word, but it will probably help if you do have those verses memorized. There's some very basic verses that talk about, you know, everyone's a sinner, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and so forth. And they're good to have in your mind at all times anyway. You may wish to carry a salvation a tract, and you know, if you once you ask them the question, and perhaps you will get interrupted at some point, just if you've got a tract handy, just say, "Can I leave this tract with you?" And you can, you know, and most of the time they'll say yes if they know you. And so that's handy to carry a gospel tract with you for those opportunities as well. But it's not a bad idea to actually have something like that with you to help the conversation going. And it may help you if you're a little bit nervous to sound less awkward when you're starting out. Sometimes people, you know, will ask you, you know, what church you're from. That's a common question. I know lots of people ask me, what kind of church, you know, they want to know what angle you're coming from. And most of the time what they're wondering is, are you a wacko? You know, are you part of a cult? And so it does help if you just say, oh, look, I just go to Lismore Bible Church. You know, it's just a regular church. So what you're saying is, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I'm not a Mormon. That's probably what they want to know. Okay. And that's, you know, if you say, we're just an independent church and we just preach the Bible, that's probably enough to answer their question. You can, and this is, again, this is up to you, but you may not, and I don't think it's very helpful to start by inviting someone to church straight off the bat, because I believe as Christians, that's not what we're here for. Okay, we want our church to grow. But when you ask an unbeliever to come to church, okay, they think that's what it's all about. Okay, they just want me to join their exclusive club. Okay, that's not what the gospel is. Okay, the gospel is we're sharing Christ with them. And so that's where we want to go. We want to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not just inviting them to join our church. Okay, so don't just jump in and invite someone to church without sharing the gospel with them first, okay? That's not, you don't want to give the impression that you just want them to join our church, you know, just to become one of our number. No, no. We want to introduce them not to a church, but to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that's important to keep in mind. Another good tip is don't use Christian jargon, okay? So don't use words like gospel even, which I probably used that 20 times in the last 20 minutes. Unbelievers don't know what that is. Okay, so don't use the words like gospel or salvation or even like a tract. Can I give you a tract? They say, what's a tract? Unbelievers don't know what Christian-sounding words mean. Okay, so try to avoid using Christian jargon. Even saying, are you saved? They're like, what? What's saved? Saved from what? Okay, you'll need to clarify these things before you start introducing these terms. If you do offer someone a tract, don't ask, would you like one? Okay, most people will say no. I've done a lot of tract distribution when I was in Sydney and even here in Lismore. If you ask people, would you like one of these? People say no. Nah. Go away. You know, they just reject it out of hand. And again, if you want to leave a tract with someone, ask them if it's okay to leave it with them, and ask their permission. Almost, is it okay if I give you this this gospel, or you know, explain it some way? This leaflet talks about God. You know. Service station attendants are great targets for tracts. That's a good tip. They're good things to carry in your car. Those service station attendants, especially late at night, no doubt they're bored. Great targets for a tract. Can I leave this tract with you after you pay for your fuel? I don't think I've had any service station attendants reject a tract, okay? They're a great target. You know, there's other things that we can talk about, but you know, I just wanted to give you guys some good, handy, practical hints and tips for sharing the gospel. Now it's up to us, and I include myself. It's up to us to put these things into practice. There's no point just talking about it. There's no point just knowing all these things and not actually putting them into practice. So that's my challenge to you, and it's a challenge to myself because I've just preached about this, is to do this, is to share the gospel in a personal way with someone. And look, I know there's people here who are going to say, I'm not good at this. I'm a shy person by nature. I don't have an outgoing personality that likes to talk to strangers and share the gospel with them. I understand that. I don't like doing it myself. It's hard to do that. But it's necessary. And I promise you that when you do it, you'll be blessed in a way that it's just amazing. Just to be able to share the gospel, even if they reject you, it's a blessing just to be able to do that. And look, you will get a lot of rejection. You will get a lot of people, sometimes people get offended when you share the gospel with them, or reject your tract, or don't want to know anything about it. Don't be discouraged. Okay, it happens. And look, you'll find people that are willing to listen. And in a way, and that's why the Lord compared it to, you know, being fishers of men. Those of us who go fishing know that you don't always catch fish. Okay, but you're not going to catch any fish sitting on your couch at home watching TV, are you? You've got to be out there fishing. You've got to go. And the more times you go, the more likely you are to catch fish. That's my experience. And so if I only go fishing once a month, the chances of me catching fish are very slim. But if I go every week, which I would love to do, I know I'm going to have a good chance of catching more fish. It's the same with personal evangelism. If you don't do it very often or at all, it's pointless. You're not going to get many results. And so don't be discouraged, because the point is If you're not doing it, you've already failed. But if you are sharing the gospel, there's no failure. Because as Christians, even telling someone that their soul is in danger of going to hell, that's a win right there. Because we have just given them the perfect opportunity to answer, the perfect opportunity to be saved, really. But if we're not asking these questions, if we're not putting ourselves out there, then we've already failed. And so don't be discouraged, just keep going, keep doing it. Make it a habit in your Christian life to share the gospel.